It was 8 o'clock last night when I went up to Stormont Castle to speak to the First Minister of our country, Arlene Foster.
Let's go back to when this scheme that has been in the centre of the news cycle was first created. So that's November 2012. It's created under your watch. Mm-hmm. You were the Minister of the department, and it was such a flawed scheme, wasn't it, that the cost controls that should have protected the public's money was not there. Why didn't you protect our money?
Well, of course, that's all with the benefit of hindsight. At the time, back in 2012, and indeed during the 2011, on the run-up to the scheme being brought in, we engaged a number of consultants, both within the energy division and outside external consultants, and they looked at the GB scheme. And in the GB scheme, what's called the counterfactual was gas. In other words, what they were trying to move people from was gas into renewable heat. Here in Northern Ireland, the counterfactual was oil. And so it was decided that instead of being part of the GB scheme, and actually the GB scheme moved faster than we could move, so we decided we would have our own renewable heat incentive scheme. And it was important that we did have a renewable heat scheme, yeah. Because it was important that we move people away from fossil fuels.
But the question is, why didn't you protect our money?
One has to put the context in place, Stephen, before one decides to ask these questions. So let me put the context in place. So it's important, therefore, that we have a renewable heat scheme. Officials brought forward the scheme to me, and the recommendation was that I should go forward with this scheme without, you're right, with the benefit of hindsight, there should have been tariffs put in place. But there weren't at that time. And so when I was in the department, I left the department in May of 2015. No problems were highlighted to me by officials. There were no recommendations in relation to doing anything differently.
Yeah, but it was under your watch, and it's not all about officials getting the blame for this, First Minister.
Nobody's saying officials are getting all of the blame. That's why I'm being accountable and going to the Assembly on Monday about my time in office.
So in June...
And so then in May of 2015...
No, I think I need to... I think
I
need to be able to...
department, and then the department passed over to Minister Bell.
So I think I need to be able to ask you questions about what happened when this scheme was up and going under your watch. Mm-hmm. In June 2013, consultants told your department to seriously consider tiering. It didn't happen. Why not?
Well, they didn't, because that went out for consultation then from June to October of 2013. After that consultation, instead of officials bringing me back recommendations as to what I should do, no recommendations were forthcoming. Therefore, I didn't have any information to tier scheme.
But it's under your
and
watch.
At that time,
well, people
Stephen,
vote for you to
yes,
protect
Stephen,
our
so
money.
I'm supposed to have a crystal ball.
No, the consultants were saying it.
The consultants didn't say it to me, they said it to my officials.
And so
the
it's
officials,
their fault again.
And the officials did not bring me any information
so
in relation
fault.
To the recommendations. Well, how am I supposed to know if I don't get any submissions
so
in relation to the
So what's the point of
matter?
You being minister if we're not holding you accountable?
We you
don't
are
vote
holding
for the,
me accountable.
People don't vote for the officials.
You are holding me accountable.
People vote for a
which
politician.
Which is why I'm going to the Assembly on Monday to set out all of the difficulties around this scheme and why we find ourselves in this situation. So come May of 2015, actually what we had was an underspend in relation to renewable heat.
Do you
recognise that there was an underspend
we'll get to
in,
May.
in relation to the
get
renewable
to May
heat?
In 2015, but what I'm trying to do here is ask you why you didn't protect the public money. There's one example, June 2013. January 2014, there was supposed to be the first review by the RIA into amending tariffs.
Yes.
So there was another key flag. Why weren't the tariffs amended?
A key flag that wasn't brought to me, Stephen.
But you're the minister.
Yes, I am the minister, and the recommendation was not brought to me.
So you didn't know about it?
No, I didn't know about it.
What type of department were you running?
Well, the energy division were having grave difficulties at that time in terms of capacity. I had raised that issue with the head of the civil service on a number of occasions that there were difficulties in energy division and that they needed to be supplemented. And unfortunately, they weren't. And we got to a situation then that they were not bringing me the information that I should have had. But of course, at this time, Stephen, and this is all with the benefit of hindsight, at this time, there were no alarm bells ringing
Why
within
do you
the
keep
department.
Saying that?
Because there were no alarm bells ringing
but
in the department at that time.
To protect our
there
money.
Were no alarm bells ringing at that time because we were in an underspend situation.
But you don't leave money
do
out.
Do you understand that we were in an underspend situation?
I do
at that
understand
time?
That.
Yes.
Do you understand, with respect, First Minister, that you don't leave public money out on the street for grabs? And if someone comes and grabs it, you say, oh, well, with the benefit of hindsight, maybe we should have put protection
but they,
in.
But they didn't do that
you
when I was the minister.
You didn't protect public money.
They didn't do that when I was the minister. When I was the minister, there was an underspend in the department.
But there were caps, and two-tier tariff systems that could have been in place, and they were not put in place to protect public money. Those are two examples of flags. Let's go
flags that weren't brought to me, Stephen. And are you saying, are you suggesting there's evidence that they were brought to me? Because I'd be very interested in seeing that evidence.
Maybe some people would feel you should have been across the detail.
And how would one be across the detail when it wasn't brought to me? If submissions had been brought to me and these were flagged up, then I would have known that there was a difficulty. But of course, at that particular point in time, there was no difficulty because there was an underspend.
Well, here's a flag from the regulator now. May 2014, Ofgem recommends considering tariffs. Why didn't you protect us at that flag?
Was that to me?
What do you mean?
Was that addressed to me, or was it addressed to the Energy Division in the department? Yes, was it brought to me? Was it brought to me?
Well, you tell me.
No, it wasn't brought to me.
So my follow-up question, what was your authority like in your department? The public were trusting you as a minister.
One can only act when one has brought the information, Stephen. And I was not brought the information, unlike in June of 2015, when the information was brought to the then minister in relation to these issues.
Haven't got the June yet. 18th of December 2014. This is the fourth example. Ofgem raises concerns about multiple boilers. They invited DETI to consider amending the regulations. Why didn't you do that?
Because it wasn't brought to me. This is going to be very repetitive, Stephen, I have to say, because none of the submissions were brought to me. I'm quite happy, and I've said it very openly, that the PAC, that anybody else that wants to look at the paperwork can have a look at the paperwork, because it's not there.
What's not being brought to you now as First Minister? What's happening in this country under your watch that you don't know
about? Well, you tell me.
Well, no, I'm asking you.
No, you tell me, because again, I don't have a crystal ball, Stephen. One relies on the professionalism of the civil service to bring.
So it's their fault?
No, one relies on the professionalism of the civil service to bring forward recommendations, to bring forward submissions. And, you know, are you seriously saying that we are over? I deal with the policy in these areas, and then the implementation of that policy is left to the professionalism of the civil service.
Well, the policy was that we shouldn't have cost controls in here.
The policy,
under your watch. That's what you delivered to people of Northern Ireland.
Yes, because of the recommendations that were brought to me at the time back in 2012.
So that's something you are responsible for. You're responsible for a policy in Northern Ireland that let people run away with our money.
I acted on the advice that was given to me at the time.
Your judgment.
Economists, external consultants, DFP officials, everybody said that it was the right thing to do. Should I have issued a directive, Stephen? Is that what you're saying to me, going against all of the advice that was given to me at that time?
I'm wondering what it means when you're a minister.
When I'm a minister, I act on the recommendations that are given to me. If you don't, if you act outside...
Well, you consider the recommendations, then you make a judgment.
If you act outside the recommendations that are given to you, then you're making a ministerial direction. That brings you then into the PAC as to why you did make that ministerial direction.
Is there anything around that lack of policy to protect our money that you are responsible for?
Well, as I said, I'm going to the Assembly on Monday to set out exactly the plan I have for dealing with the issues that have arisen.
That's not my question. Is there anything around that policy that you were responsible for that you will now say to the public, I am sorry I did not put in cost controls?
Well, of course I'm sorry I didn't put in cost controls, but I wasn't advised that I needed to put in cost controls at that particular point in time, Stephen. I mean, this is all very well looking back, knowing now what we know, but at that particular point in time, the recommendations, the submissions from all of the experts in the field here in Northern Ireland was that this was the scheme that we needed to go forward on.
There was a whistleblower contacted you, and let's try to deal with the whistleblower saga, because I don't understand it. Nigel Dodds has told the public, and I'll quote him, there has been quite a scurrilous attempt to blame Arlene Foster for the RHI saga. The endlessly repeated claim has been that she failed to follow up on the whistleblower concerns. Now we know that no such concerns were raised with her. Mm-hmm. So he's saying no concerns were raised with you, while you told Spotlight in 2013 a whistleblower made allegations to me about the operation of the RHI scheme. I passed these concerns on to departmental officials to investigate.
Yes.
How can you pass concerns on that Nigel Dodds said you never received?
Well, I'm glad you brought this up, because it is important that people understand this. So when Spotlight came to me before I went to China, they said that the whistleblower had made allegations against the RHI scheme. Of course, they didn't provide me with the email that the lady had sent to me. I understand that you have now seen this email. We looked for the email, couldn't find a whistleblower email anywhere in the system. I went off to China. I knew that I had passed on any concerns to my officials that were raised with me, because that's my practice and that's what I would have done. When I have returned, we have finally found the letter that the lady sent to me. And indeed, it wasn't a whistleblowing letter. The whistleblowing was raised in later correspondence and in later meetings with the various officials that she met. So the letter, actually, that she sent to me was along the lines of the fact that she wanted to know how energy efficiency sat alongside renewable heat and how I could help her with that, and I asked the officials to help her with that. So that's the background to it all.
So you did receive allegations or not?
No, I didn't receive allegations.
Why all did you tell Spotlight you did?
I said I passed on the concerns lady had raised with me.
No, you did not. Detail, First Minister. You said a whistleblower made allegations to me.
Yes, because that's what was said to me by Spotlight. It now turns out that the lady only made those whistleblowing concerns to the officials later on.
They didn't
provide me with any correspondence. So I had to go on memory, and I knew that I had passed on the correspondence that was sent to me by this particular lady, but I hadn't sight of it, Stephen, so I couldn't remember what was in the letter.
For as much as I respect Spotlight, do we not expect the leader of our country to know what she's talking about?
Are you seriously expecting me to know the content of every letter that's sent to me? I didn't have the letter. You have the letter, but you chose not to share that letter with your listeners, Stephen. Something which I regret deeply, because, of course, you could have assisted in all of this.
Sorry,
you decided
let me be very, very clear to the viewing public tonight. That initial letter that came from that whistleblower did not have allegations in it.
No.
Absolutely. But the point is, do we not need to
Why didn't you share that with people?
Do we not need to be able to trust you when you tell the public that that a whistleblower came to you with allegations and that you passed those
because
on?
Because Spotlight told me that this lady, who later very, I think, admirably told the officials that there were difficulties with the RHI scheme. There's no point in shaking your head, Stephen. This is the reality.
Well, there's no point in you telling the public you did something if you didn't.
I did pass
every
on the letter.
Every word from a First Minister's important.
Pass on. Well, listen to this. I did pass on the letter to officials.
You did not pass on the allegations because you hadn't got them.
I passed on the letter to officials. I did not have the recall back to 2013 in relation to what was in the letter. Of course I didn't have the recall as to what was back in 2013.
Does the public not expect you?
And how could I find the letter when actually it wasn't a whistleblowing letter at all? It was just a letter that had came in about energy efficiency.
So why didn't you state facts at that stage?
Because I didn't have the letter.
No, hold on.
And Spotlight wouldn't share it with me.
Hold on a second. Why didn't you say, I don't have the letter, I don't know?
Well,
why did you give the public a false impression?
I knew I had passed whatever was in the letter to officials.
What would you say? You give the distinct impression.
Well, if I give the distinct impression, I apologise for that distinct impression. I passed the letter and whatever was in the letter to officials. I was being hounded for not following up on that letter. It now turns out that the reason I didn't follow up on that letter was the fact that there was no whistleblowing claims in the letter at all. So that's the fundamental issue around this. I mean, people were calling for me, as they have been throughout of this system, that I should resign on the basis of this letter because I didn't follow up on the letter, when now it turns out, actually, there's no allegations in the letter.
It's about your authority, isn't it? It's about when the public hear you say something, they need to be able to believe that what you are saying...
What are you saying, Stephen?
Here's what I'm saying.
Yes, what are you
saying? Here's what I'm saying. The public need to be able to believe that when you say something, that is what happened. In this instance,
I passed the letter to officials.
In this instance, First Minister, you told the public that you received allegations. You did not. It is factually incorrect. You told the public that you passed those allegations on. It is factually incorrect.
So, if I had had that letter, and if Spotlight had shared that letter
with
me... Why are
you getting into this?
Well, this is what happened, Stephen. Do you want me to talk about the reality of what happened? Spotlight claimed that a whistleblower had come to me and that I hadn't followed up on that. I knew that I had received correspondence from this lady, but I knew I'd also passed on that correspondence to the appropriate officials. So I had taken, and the Permanent Secretary has confirmed, I had taken all appropriate action in this matter. It was then whipped up into a storm by Spotlight and indeed by your programme. So now you're coming back to me and saying that I have reacted in the wrong way. I acted in the correct way in relation to that letter. And actually others have jumped on a bandwagon asking for me to do something on the back of that letter, which is not correct.